One of the buzziest of words and phrases in the vocabulary of schools and colleges of business these days is societal impact. It's an imperative from our accreditor, AACSB, that we include this in our daily activities. It's just that the phrase is not only hard to define, but also hard to measure. Roll the intro.
You're listening to Buff Speak, the official podcast of the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. I am Dr. Nick Gerlich, your host, as we meet up with the thought leaders making an impact today.
My guest today is Dr. Leslie Ramos-Salazar, the Abdullah Professor of Business Communication and Decision Management, someone who's been on the show before, but in a very different context. Today, we're going to take a close look at societal impact and how we are doing it at the Engler College of Business. Welcome back to the show, Leslie.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure and honor to be here talking with you.
So tell us, what is your role regarding societal impact this year?
Oh, I am the committee chair. So this is a brand new committee of the college, and it's called Community Engagement and Societal Impact.
And do you have a mission or some kind of directive from the dean on this?
Well, they told us that we are to look into resources, information regarding societal impact, whatever AACSB has given to the colleges, to really talk and have discussions about what is societal impact, what does it mean for us as faculty, what are activities that we are already engaging in terms of societal impact.
So let's just get down to it here. How do you define societal impact? What is it? And how do you define that in the context of a college of business?
Well, I define it as creating positive change in society. It's making positive difference in our communities, those that we serve. So these communities can be college stakeholders, small to large size businesses, nonprofit organizations. For example, a business college can create societal impact by helping to solve an important community problem, such as reducing poverty. They can sponsor a series of free financial literacy or career development workshops.
Is this a one-size-fits-all definition, or can societal impact vary from one school to another, for that matter, one dean to another? I can imagine our sister school down in Laredo having a very different kind of view on societal impact simply because they're a border town, the demographics of the community are very different, the needs of it are different from ours. And for that matter, we could contrast to the mothership, Texas A&M in College Station, a school with many, many thousands more students than here. And I could see it being different there too. What are your thoughts on this?
I agree. The societal impact is going to look different from college to college, from dean to dean. And for instance, if we look at just location, as you mentioned, so here in the Texas Panhandle, we deal with issues like water scarcity and wildfire risk, while urban locations are going to face issues like public safety and affordable housing. Also, different deans may focus on different societal impact problems. They'll look at the strengths of their existing faculty body, the community problems. For instance, some deans may emphasize addressing environmental and sustainability problems. Others may emphasize addressing economical gap problems. So what the deans can do is they review the Sustainable Development Goals, or the SDGs, from the United Nations and the environmental, social, and governance ESG issues, because this will help them to identify the most relevant societal problems.
So why is it important that we assess this?
It's a new requirement of our accreditor, AACSB, to get business colleges reaccredited. As such, business colleges need to assess how their missions, visions, and strategic goals align with societal impact in mind. It's also important because tracking societal impact activities can make it easy for business colleges to communicate their value to external audiences, such as community partners, alumni, and even prospective students.
So is this just another way of showing that we are being responsible citizens to our stakeholders, which could even be the taxpayers, since we are employees of the state here.
Yeah, so that's another good aspect of this. Yeah, we could have positive impact beyond just offering classes.
Is it possible for a college of business to be a force for good? And I guess you could play devil's advocate and say, could it also be a force for harm or evil?
Yes, both are possible. A college of business can be a force for good by helping working communities. For instance, they can teach how to use new technologies to overcome cybersecurity threats, or teach communities how to implement AI ethically in the workplace. Now, to serve as a devil's advocate, yes, a business college can do harm. What if they promote profit at all cost mindsets? This can lead individuals to engage in unethical business practices.
Well, let's talk about our students. Do you think the students even know what societal impact is? And even if they do they even care?
That's a great question. At the core, right now, the biggest generation of our college students are going to come from the Gen Z. And what I know about Gen Z business students is that they do want to make a difference in the world around them, and they do care in general about social justice issues. Now, I don't think they might understand societal impact or be able to define it right now. However, when we think about why they care, the reasons will vary. It depends on the student. Some students will genuinely want to make the world a better place because they were just raised to do good, or they just feel good when they do good things. There's going to be others that are going to be motivated more for external rewards, such as receiving great credit for a class, earning scholarships, or increasing their chances of getting into grad school.
Do you think this is just a trend, or is this something that's going to be around long after we retire?
I think it's going to be continuing on and on. I don't think it's going away.
And why do you think it took so long for us to suddenly become aware of societal impact?
Well, we're dealing with very complicated world problems. I think more so now that we're becoming more aware of these problems, we have social media, we have huge news sources. So the world's becoming more aware about the problems we're dealing with.
Well, let's look at another constituent in the equation here, and that would be employers. We take great pride in all of the companies who employ our students. We have a wall of fame in the hallway here with a bunch of corporate logos of some of the recent employers, people who've hired our students, either undergraduate or graduate students. What do you think our employers think about societal impact in general?
I think they care. If they know a recent college grad has devoted so many hours in serving their communities using their academic skills that they learn while in college, I think they're likely to hire them. Also, if they're aware of the societal impact that a business school is doing, they're probably more likely to trust and respect that school and the quality of students that they graduate.
And what are we doing here at the Engler College of Business to let these employers know that the graduates we are pumping out here are all well-versed on societal impact?
Well, I think we do a really good job in having newsletters that go out to the community, and podcasts like this are really broadcasting positive things that the college is doing.
Can a company successfully prioritize both profit and social good? And we'll run with that a little bit. What about an academic unit like a college of business? Can you do both?
I think it's possible. Maybe not at equal par, like 50-50%, but many already do this because of corporate social responsibility. They're accountable. They use it for marketing. Customers are becoming more aware of how they're spending their dollars, and several prefer to spend money on products from companies that support the causes or values that they relate to. I think it's easier for us academics because we focus so much on education and skill building, which to me, they're essential to doing social good.
Some might argue that this is a zero-sum game, that if you look at societal impact or social good, then it comes at the expense of profit. Or if you focus a little too much on profit, it comes at the expense of social good. I mean, is that a possibility?
I think that it's possible to have profits and social good. I think that where profits gets a bad name is when you do the certain decisions that hurt people because of the profits, but it's possible to help societies or reduce harm and still get profits.
I have to think back quite a few years, more than 40 years, to when the Tylenol scare happened in Chicago. There was some random guy contaminating basically over-the-counter painkillers, and they were laced with cyanide, and people started dying. And so what did the maker of Tylenol do once it once they discovered what was going on? They pulled the product from store shelves nationwide for about 6 months at great expense to them. I mean, they lost sales. They didn't just lose profit. They lost everything in the whole equation there. And yet they did it because they were thinking about the broader good of the general public. What are your thoughts on a company going to that extreme?
Well, yeah, I think at the core, they have to examine their core values and how much emphasis they want to have on ethics. And if ethics is at the core value, they did the right thing, right? They did the right thing. And even if it leads to bankruptcy, if a business does the right thing, I think that that is something to respect.
Are there any companies in particular that you admire for their societal impact? And if so, why?
Yeah, that would be the Walt Disney Company. Now, of course, you could look at both ways, but I'm going to look at the positive impact. They've made such a global impact towards their philanthropy efforts. They've been donating so many funds to nonprofits that support children's hospitals, disaster relief. And they also provide a paid tuition employer education program. This is called Aspire. And they also are known to hire veterans through their Heroes Work Hero program. And they're also becoming more sustainable.
Yesterday, this doesn't matter when the podcast comes out, but yesterday in our real time, Coca-Cola made a major announcement of their new ad campaign for the summer of 2026. And it's a throwback to 1971. They took the old I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing, which they had also used in their own advertising, I'd Like to Buy the World a Coke. And they reimagined that song, a totally new rendition of it, kind of a gospel, soul fest kind of rendition of it, with a very diverse choir of 25 people from all walks of life, video clips from all over the country. And the whole essence of the campaign is they're celebrating 250 years of the U.S., the semi-quincentennial. There's a word for you there and for everybody else. Learn it this year. You'll never have to use it again, though. What they are trying to do is show that they're being good corporate citizens, but they're also showing that their brand is part of the fabric of what it means to be an American. And boy, the timing couldn't be better. It's not like they planned a war around this. I'm sure they had the campaign under wraps for quite a few months in development. And then meanwhile, of course, a war did break out. And the overall mood, the zeitgeist in this country is not that great right now. A lot of people are concerned. And Coca-Cola is, I think they're going to be the unwitting beneficiary of a lot of attaboys for doing this at the right time, although it may not have actually been planned that way. The campaign encourages also up to 250,000 hours of volunteerism across the country, trying to focus on things like those who are unhomed, disaster relief, sustainability, a lot of the same things that you were just talking about. What are your thoughts on a corporate giant like this? Because Coca-Cola is the elephant in the room when it comes to consumer packaged goods.
Well, I think that this is an interesting thing because it could be, I was looking earlier, what are companies that don't do so good on ESG and social responsibility, and several pop up. But when you really look at their company profiles, they're also doing good. Like, they're not all like poor reputation. They are making efforts, and I'd say that's good as long as a company is striving towards changing their behavior, or at least even little steps like that is better than nothing.
Well, see, you made a good point there. As long as they are doing that and keep doing that, but what about firms for whom a lot of this societal impact stuff is, well, they're maybe just a little disingenuous with it? In other words, it's, well, greenwashing is one way to look at it. If a company is touting ecology and recycling and all those noble things, there are other names for it too, but basically, it could be window dressing if we're not real careful. What are your thoughts on a company that is faking it?
Well, that's a very bad choice. I think that faking it or creating fake labels or overusing false language like 100% eco-friendly, that's very deceptive to the clients. And overall, it's going to catch on. It will. People will find out, and it's only going to harm their reputation.
After the break, we'll take a closer look at the role of colleges and schools of business in imbuing this ethos to students via courses and programs.
The MBA is the most popular graduate degree in the United States, and with good reason. It leads to better jobs, promotions, and salary increases. At the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, our MBA program is entirely online for when you're ready to make that move. With as few as 31 credit hours and specializations offered in 5 areas, you can fast track your career in as little as 18 months. Whether you're looking for a promotion or initial job placement, you'll stand head and shoulders above the competition. And because we've been teaching online since 1997, we're not the new kids on the block. Trust your education and career to dedicated faculty who are not only experts in their fields, but also old pros in the online arena. Our consistently high rankings say it all. A GMAT waiver is available. We're AA CSB accredited and among the most elite of business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WT MBA in hand. For more information, find us at wtamu.edu/COB or call 806-651-2500. From the Texas Panhandle to the world, we're here to help you reach those stars.
Leslie, what do you think of business schools in general? And do they do enough to teach ethics and social responsibility?
I think most businesses that are schools today have at least one course being centered around ethics in their undergraduate curriculum. They do cover ethics and social responsibility, even if it's just one class or it's embedded in relevant courses across different majors. So whether it's marketing or finance, now they do more to teach these concepts. Can they do more? Of course, there's always room for improvement that business schools can do.
I have to just be honest here. As a marketer, I know that we take a bad rap a lot of times, and we sell people stuff. And the goal, as I tell my students, is to make money and help sell more stuff. Sometimes without regard to any rhyme or reason, it seems that profit is the only thing that drives us. And in many regards, the words marketing and ethics are seen as an oxymoron. And you could almost argue that for finance too. What are your thoughts on that? Are we really spouting off oxymorons?
That's a good question. I've seen that it is possible to engage in ethical marketing, even though we've known that the marketing, the more you make it look better or make it appear better, it's going to lead to more profits, more decision-making from the customers. And it will really take a culture shift in terms of customers demanding more transparency in marketing and more realism. Like right now, I've seen students that will have AI do their picture for a job, for example. Is that righteous, not righteous? I don't know.
Closer to home, how are we teaching ethics and social responsibility to our students? Or for that matter, let's make it really close to home. How are you doing it?
Well, I'll start with the college. So the college has college-wide learning objectives focusing on business ethics and corporate governance. Across the college, courses adopt this learning objective. They measure it using assignments like a case study or open-ended assessment. And we do have several courses already across academic majors that do cover ethics and social responsibility. For instance, we have a management class called Business Ethics and Society and a finance class called Corporate Governance and Ethics. In my own classes, I do have an ethics learning objective. Most of my classes will have that, and I will go ahead and assess it through an essay or through peer discussion groups.
In the span of, well, one academic year almost with this committee, how has everything we have done before here in the Engler College of Business shaped your perspective on societal impact? And how has it shaped the view of the committee?
It has shaped it a lot. I'm highly impressed with the existing societal impact of our college. In our committee, we surveyed the faculty, and I learned so many things about them in terms of the impactful things that they're doing in all their roles, teaching, research, and service. And the college has also been highly active in supporting societal impact initiatives. Overall, it taught me that the type of societal impact can vary by discipline and expertise of the faculty. However, at the core, all of it is contributing to the overall good of society at large.
So I remember that survey you sent out. What were some of the key findings from it?
There were a lot of findings. So at least for the teaching, there's more experiential learning that is evident across courses, across disciplines. There's also more faculty taking responsibility to engage in advisory boards for the community, for example. In terms of research, faculty are starting to think about, okay, how does my research make an impact to solve a societal problem or linking it to a societal problem?
How often do you meet as a committee?
Twice, at least twice or three times a semester.
Do you have any other activities going on or things that you've already completed since school started last fall?
So in the fall, we spent a lot of it doing research. What is societal impact and what are ways of measuring it? And we looked as far as looking at the journals. Some journals right now are marketing how they're linking their journals to SDG things, for example, or different dynamics there. So in the fall, we were mainly doing research. We developed the inventory in the fall semester, and then we collected data late fall and early spring. And with this data, we wrote a report to administration. And pretty much that report details our data findings across different disciplines, and we also offer several recommendations.
So what's the next step?
So we offered several recommendations, so then we will have discussions with administration to find if any of those recommendations are realistic for us to implement. And if they are, then we would pursue that.
Is this the end of the committee, or is it going to be ongoing?
Well, I believe it will be ongoing. I haven't been told otherwise. So.
You're still in charge, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so societal impact in your mind then is something that we are going to be focusing on for a while. And even though you have put in all the due diligence as a committee to research it, to define it, to measure it, to prepare proposals, it's something that's going to have to be visited over and over again.
That is right.
By seeking to make a societal impact at the college level, we are implicitly hoping and praying that our students acquire the same sense of duty and they carry it forward into their careers. What industries have the biggest opportunity to create positive change right now?
That's a great question. I think all industries have the opportunity to create positive change. Right now, though, I think the education industry has the biggest advantage in nurturing societal impact in their students. So when they go out into the workplace, they can shape company cultures and pursue societal impact activities. Now, another industry that I thought of that has strong potential is the healthcare industry. There are companies like Kaiser Permanente that have led efforts in advancing health equity by providing financial assistance to uninsured or underserved individuals.
You mentioned a while back water issues being very important here and maybe not as important in other areas. That has become a political hot potato lately. It was already important to begin with the Ogallala Aquifer continuing to shrink, but now we've got data centers being built here that are going to consume large amounts of water and electricity, for that matter. And without diving into the political side of whether we should even have those things, how are you bringing those topics into the classroom so that students can consider them?
Well, I think as faculty, we're responsible to be aware of our surroundings as much as we can and to bring in real stories like that. And the way we do that is by providing case studies where students can have discussions about real issues that we're facing like that.
What about startups? You know, small companies, it could be mom and pop, little entrepreneurial ventures. How do they build societal impact into their model from day one? Because for everybody else, all the existing companies, they're kind of retrofitting or they are overlaying a societal impact model on top of what they've already been doing. But something that or somebody that's just starting up, they have the opportunity to build it from the ground floor.
Well, I suggest incorporating societal impact as part of their mission and value statements. That will take a lot of work, of course, and to strive to become a value-centered organization. The leader of a startup must define societal impact clearly in their employee handbook and at meetings and provide clear societal expectations across the entire organization. They also need to be clear about who will benefit from the impact. Is it children in orphanages? Is it individuals without education access? Veterans? Who is it?
Let's look down the road a bit. Do you think future CEOs will be judged more on their societal impact than on their profit? Or will it just be how much money they made?
In the U.S., probably not, in part. Profits are still seen as essential to the U.S. economy. However, it could be the case that societal impact will continue to evolve and grow as an important U.S. value and expectation, and over time might even show to be related to profits.
While our accreditor holds us accountable for societal impact, it's very different for companies. I mean, who should hold the companies accountable for their societal impact? Should it be consumers? Should it be governments? Should it be investors? Or maybe an accrediting agency like AACSB?
Well, I think all of the above. Consumers, because they're directly impacted by the purchase of the products and the services. Governments, because to protect citizens against unlawful business practices. And investors, to maintain the integrity and quality of the companies over time.
What about businesses and how they solve these social problems? Should we expect businesses to solve all these things that governments haven't been able to solve?
If businesses are profiting from society, then yes, they should be expected to serve society's well-being and be accountable for it. They can chip in to address societal problems, those that they choose. Any contribution, small or large, as long as it's continuous, it will benefit them by building a better brand reputation.
And let's just talk a little more about this. Should executives be held personally responsible when there are harmful outcomes? I mean, for that matter, what about faculty and administrators at the academic level? Should we start pinning blame on real people?
If a harmful decision was made by the executive, then yes. If the harm could have been prevented by the executive, then yes. But not all harmful outcomes can be blamed on executives. A lot has to do with how executives respond to the harm, even if it's unintentional. For instance, do they apologize? Are they transparent? Do they change policies to prevent it in the future? Now, in academia, In terms of faculty and administrators, if any harmful decision is made, they should be responsible for their own decisions and strive to amend them.
When we come back, we'll look at how we seek to do this in the Engler College of Business.
There's a reason why our programs are rated so highly by independent reviewers. We are committed to continuously improving what we do. Whether it is in the classroom or online, the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business strives to stay ahead of the curve, not behind it. Join us in the classroom or online and see the difference. We're WACSB accredited and among the most elite business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WT business degree in hand. For more info, find us online at wtamu.edu/cob or call 806-651-2525. From the Texas Panhandle to the world, we are here to help you reach for those stars.
Leslie, what is a College of Business supposed to produce here? Is it profit maximizers? Is it leaders? Is it problem solvers?
Well, I think that they should strive to produce ethical leaders. Everything else then falls into place. Ethical leaders make hard decisions, even if it doesn't maximize profit, and they can solve a variety of problems using their ethical reasoning.
How do you keep the shareholders happy, though, when you have been ethically responsible? You've made a huge societal impact, but boy, it sure put a dent in profits.
I think that it's really up to how they communicate their decision-making process and really see, you know, profit, yes, is something to look forward to and something to really care about, but you should also care about people, not just profit. And if they could find a way to persuade them that say, look, we're also talking about real human beings with real feelings and, you know, it really can affect their lives. And it's actually, to me, more successful to have a positive impact on people than just the wallet.
Should societal impact be central to business education or just one component? I guess another way to say it is this something that should be built in to the curriculum, that it runs the depth and the breadth of the curriculum, or should it just be like one class?
I think it's central to business education. I think it's that important. Business colleges will no longer be measured just by the quality of their publications or a set of learning objectives. They will also be measured by how well they can demonstrate their ability to create meaningful, positive change in society, whether it's through research, teaching, or service.
Well, I've been a part of the assessment committee this year, and I'm seeing just how important this is to the College of Business and the role it plays in our goals and objectives. It's no small part, that's for sure. It's something that it looks like we're going to be able to run with this and measure it in multiple places across the curriculum. All we have to hope is that everybody gets the same curriculum, or at least the core, which in our case, they will. They'll get those 11 courses. And if we've got societal impact running through them like a great big river, there should be no way for the students to miss out on all of that. Where, though, does societal impact right now actually show up in our curriculum? Can you give me some examples, like maybe in your courses?
Sure. I know in my classes, I focus on assignments where students get to really get to know companies. So, for example, in my business communication class, they do a SWOT analysis of a company, and they really get to engage deeper in that company and offer recommendations. In my healthcare class, I do a lot of engagement in terms of their interview assignment. So they need to go in and interview a healthcare leader, learn the ins and outs of that industry, and ask them really important questions that are relevant to their careers.
What about topics like sustainability, corporate responsibility, all these very noble sounding words and phrases? Should they be required across all majors like finance or accounting or marketing? And if so, how would we do it? Would it be a one size fits all, or would it differ depending on what your major is?
Well, those topics are important. For each major, they should cover at least one class so that students understand them and realize how valuable they are to leading socially responsible businesses and for building a better society.
Is there a risk that schools might prioritize employability over ethical leadership? I mean, once again, let's talk about that, the Wall of Fame with all the employer logos on it. We like to talk about percentages of our graduates who are employed in their field after 6 months. These are metrics that schools look at and measure all the time. And it begins to sound like, well, our job is to make sure they get a job. Where does ethical leadership fit into that? I mean, we don't have a Wall of Fame for ethical leadership. We have one for jobs.
Yeah, you're right. But I think they work hand in hand. It's possible to focus on ethical leadership, use that skill to become employable. There is a lot of pressure right now for schools to increase the employability of their students. Colleges should continue to instill ethical leadership, though, because that is something that doesn't just go away. Once you nurture that and in the students, they're more likely to make ethical decisions, hopefully for their entire lives.
Well, okay, let's talk about the nitty-gritty here. How should we measure whether a business, or for that matter, a student, is actually getting this societal impact? How do you measure whether a business is making a positive impact? How do you measure student learning of societal impact?
Well, we'll start with the businesses. So they've been assessed by their corporate social responsibility reports. There are B Corp assessments out there that they can use to assess themselves. And businesses should be measured using both quantitative and qualitative data. At least on the quantitative side, they can demonstrate a societal return on investments, or SROI it's called. So this is really known for the goodness created, which is the division of net present societal value of benefits on net present value of investment. So let's say a company invests in a $100,000 job training program for displaced workers with a $500,000 of social value through their actual employment, which means that for every dollar they invested, society will get $5. So that's quantitative. On the qualitative side, they can collect a series of case studies that are tracked over the years, such as tracking key employees' societal impact activities. In the classroom, the way it would look like is a professor that has an experiential learning activity, like in management. We have a professor that in her class, she has the students do a fundraiser and for a nonprofit. And they use what they learned to build this fundraiser. And the way it's assessed is there'll be a very detailed rubric on the level of impact based on that fundraiser.
Isn't there still a degree of subjectivity here? I mean, I may see societal impact differently from you. We may both see it differently from the dean, who may all of us see it differently through the lens of our accreditor. Isn't that a possibility?
Yeah, it's mainly subjective and very context-based and can be seen through stories, case studies, social media, patterns over time, and it's very difficult to measure. However, I think we can quantify it, but it's just not going to be quantifying the entire concept. It's too big of a concept or construct, so it's up to business colleges to define it and to measure it. So, for instance, business schools could collect the number of societal impact activities per academic year. They can document the number of industry research publications, number of grants, number of community consultation services, and that kind of thing. But one activity will not demonstrate societal impact. It has to be in the long term, and you have to measure it multiple times, not just once.
So if it's something that is countable, it can be tallied, that's great, because now we got something there. We can actually put that down in a ledger somewhere. We did some activity 27 times. We built 10 Habitat for Humanity houses or something to that extent. Those are very, very measurable activities there. But other things like, more behind the scenes stuff, that's kind of hard to measure. You really can't begin to put a value on, well, somebody went and distributed food to the needy. Yeah, they did it two times, but what was the impact?
I think a lot of it is going to come down to the story that you tell with the data that you have.
Oh, that's great. I love that. So basically, you know it when you see it, right? Yeah, that's good. I like that. What does a socially responsible business leader actually look like today?
Ooh, good question. A socially responsible leader has a strong moral compass, so they strive to reduce harm and benefit others. And if we really look at it as a business, they have an ecosystem. So their clients, their stakeholders, the communities, all of those count. And they got to realize everybody's interconnected. The decision of this leader can impact the whole. So by being socially responsible, they can develop inspirational visions, mission statements for positive societal change. They can develop a workplace that's value-centered, purpose-driven for societal impact. They can celebrate societal impact efforts and activities, or I'll give you a couple examples. So there's Niels Christensen. So he's the CEO of the Lego Group. So he led the toy industry's change away from plastic, and he's been the big lead in refostering thousands of acres of land in Brazil. There's also Maya Corrigan, the president and CEO of Noblesse, who actually just got named 2026 World's Most Ethical Companies list. She's well known for her integrity and applying ethics to the core of AI and science-driven defense solutions to serve the public good.
Societal impact is one of the biggest challenges facing B schools today, and rightfully so. In making a positive impact ourselves, we wish to create an environment in which our students come to learn that this is about them as well, that they too must be good corporate citizens. And it's no small task, as we've discovered today. It's often difficult to define, but like I said, you sure know it when you see it. My guest today has been Dr. Leslie Ramos-Salazar, the Abdulat Professor of Business Communication and Decision Management. Thanks for being on the show again, Leslie. I appreciate it. Best wishes to you as you lead our college into making an ever larger societal impact. Fade to black. Roll credits.
You've been listening to Buff Speak from the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. Our executive producer is Justin Lovell, and Allison Hunter is our associate producer. Our co-editors are Maverick Evans and Paul Torres. Lindsay Bjork is our director of marketing and outreach initiatives, which includes overseeing BuffSpeak. Dr. Jeffrey Babb is director of accreditation and is our technical consultant. Finally, Dr. Amjad Abdulat is dean of the college. You can find us online at wtamu.edu/cob for more information about our programs. Be sure to check out our many academic offerings. Come for the quality, stay for the small classes, affordable tuition, and friendly, approachable professors. And look online at our faculty blog, profspeak.com, for more insights. You can listen to BuffSpeak on your favorite podcast portal, as well as on our website, buffspeak.biz. And if you like what you've been hearing, don't be afraid to share us with your friends, colleagues, and family. Word of mouth has always been the best form of advertising. Until next time, love one another. For the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, I am Dr. Nick Gerlich. And as always, go Buffs! BuffSpeak.